Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And it is now or never. We are losing time. Doesn't mean we don't have enough time. Until the states, and I can't emphasize this enough, the states are the ones, because I have these conversations with conservatives that are talking about, oh, it's too late. Actually, it's not. As long as the states have not rescinded their authority and conceded their oversight and control over the Constitution as parties of that compact, as long as they are and still acknowledge that they are parties to that compact, the Constitution, then it's not too late. There's never been an official move by the states to say we are no longer holding the federal government and everything else accountable. The only way they can do that is either by amending the Constitution or acknowledging another Constitution, and that has not happened. So regardless of the sovereign citizen movement, regardless of all of these doomsdayers, people that are trying to get committees of safety moving, saying and asserting that we have an illegitimate government. Anybody that says that, they're incorrect. The states have never bought off on the unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers that the federal government has assumed over the years. Doesn't mean that what the federal government is doing is legitimate, but they are still a legitimate government. What they're doing is unconstitutional. Just to be clear, there's a big difference between an illegitimate government, in other words, a government that was not properly established, a government that was, you know, literally instituted. It's kind of like some of the amendments. We actually are abiding by amendments, and I'll give you one example. The 16th Amendment is an amendment that we're abiding by that was illegitimately ratified. In other words, when we prove with the Republic Review that the 16th Amendment was not properly ratified because Bill, starts with a B, B. Bennett, basically went out and proved, or he provided enough academic evidence that the 16th Amendment was not properly ratified. So with Republic Review, as we go through and audit the Constitution and audit all of the states' activities regarding the Constitution, did they legitimately ratify in accordance with the Constitution and their laws? Did they actually ratify that? Because we know that Oregon actually did not constitutionally ratify. At least this is the evidence that Bill Bennett or Mr. Bennett has provided. I'm not going to struggle over names. We've got a message today to Representative Cawthorn of North Carolina. And so we'll get right into that after we do some of these obligatories. As you know, I am your humble servant, and I am here to serve you. If you need any content, if you need any explanations, you need help with what you're doing in establishing constitutional counties, then let us know. We've actually posted the PowerPoint. We got it up there. We had a little problem, but it's up there today, because I made sure that it actually was visible today. And so, because we actually got it up yesterday, but there were some problems and it wasn't visible. We also have the jurisdictional limitations on the federal government article in the Constitutional Perspectives page. That will be up there for a short period of time, and it will be rolling over to the Constitutional Articles page. So if you don't find it there, you'll find it over there. Because what we're going to be putting up in the Constitutional Perspectives page starting next week will be the issues, and actually, we're only putting it there just to kind of hold off on some of the stuff that we've got going on the Take Action page. The reason we're putting the constitutional issues there is so that we're going to start talking about how you can run a campaign in taking a stand on the Constitution and pointing out to everybody. So what you do, I'll just say this right now. if you already have a rhino that you're running against and you're already in the race because some of the states have already closed their filing and they're getting ready for their primaries if you haven't already had your primary. And as a matter of fact, if you live in a state that's already had their primary for the general election of 2022, your state legislator is stealing from you the opportunity of actually being able to participate in a true debate. Because why? Most of these states, if you look at most of the states that do this, they're kind of, you know, winner states or what have you, and nobody has the time to engage in politics this far ahead of this cotton-picking, you know, election year. It's the same thing with why does Iowa do their primary in as early in the year as they do? I think it's in January. It's Iowa, or maybe it's New Hampshire or Vermont. One of those is first, and then the next one is Iowa's next. Come on, folks. Wake up. It's not about trying to be first. As a matter of fact, it's, you know how they do these primaries? They call them Super Tuesdays. As we move later into the year, they have these Super Tuesdays because there's a lot of states doing it. Some of those are still really early. Your primary is the most important election that you have because this is where you have challengers to those scoundrels that need to be removed from office. And what they have done, these scoundrels in office have protected themselves to make it really hard for anybody to contest them and prove that they are not worthy. This is why you really, the best time to have your primary is probably August or September, because the general election is really the issues between the parties. Most all campaigns end with the primary. And what I mean by that is if you look at the majority of the United States and your state legislative races and all of the rest of the races in the state, whether that be commissioners or what have you, you will find that whoever won the sitting party's position in the primary is the one that wins. If it is a Republican district, it will be a Republican that will win that. So why spend 6 months trying to debate between the parties when they already know the decision has been done at the primary level? The evidence is so overwhelming, and why is it that you allow your state legislators to protect themselves? These guys, I am not a fan of citizen initiative, but I believe that this either has to be an issue or this has to be a citizen initiative so that people start waking up, because they don't deserve that level of protection. To have a primary in April that far out from the general election, come on. Seriously, folks, start using your head and start looking at who is being served by some of these dates and what they're doing. So let me move forward. I dove down this rat hole and I'm swimming around. Anyway, let me get out of here. So as you know, you are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and evidence-based solutions. And this show is sponsored by republicreview.org. And one of the things we want to promote, and we do these personal endorsements, I am not compensated for these. Please get a subscription to the Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. A one-year subscription will cost you $30. But get these papers, because these papers are going to be talking about constitutional issues and constitutional moves that are in Wyoming. And this will help you start getting engaged and involved. And if you want to do some either reprints or you want to actually start bringing these things up in your state to say, hey, look, you know, we need to be focusing on these things just like Wyoming is. Why are we allowing ourselves to be distracted? Because that's what the enemy does. The enemy keeps you divided and distracted and focused on fighting each other instead of fighting them. Okay, so as you know, we are huge supporters of Timber Nation. We've got a nice solid walnut desk here, a table, a broadcasting table. And so we love it. And what we would ask is if you're looking for good hardwood, solid hardwood furnishing, go to timbernation.com. And as you know, Ad Local is very integral in supporting ISP level support. And anybody that is going to have a campaign, anybody that is working out there that looks like, you know, you need some ISP support, contact Ad Local. Now, let me know if Ad Local is non-responsive, because I know that their customer or their new customer business is growing. So we're having a bit of an effect. And if we need to poke them, then because they're non-responsive, let me know. Because when we started doing this, they had this surge, and I actually had somebody contact me and say, hey, you know, I contacted these guys and I haven't heard back from them. And so hopefully we don't have to go all the way to the top. Hopefully they've actually built, I think, the structure to handle the surge, especially this time of year. If you're running a campaign, if you're running and you're trying to get organized, as we're trying to help you get organized, you need these ISP services and you need Ad Local to do this work. So regardless whether they're capable of serving it or not, we're going to make them work overtime so that they can get you the services you need. Anyway, so let me know if you have any issues. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416, and I've got 10 seconds left in this segment because we always use hard breaks. I don't use soft breaks. And so what we want to do is we're going to come back with our message to Representative Cawthorn regarding the heat that he's taking over his participation on January 6th. So with that, we will be right back after these two promos with that message for him. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, first off, Representative Cawthorn, one of the things that I've been harping on, and I'm trying to drive this into everybody's brain housing group, is this perspective or paradigm that leaders use. A real leader that is actually trying to solve problems uses an upstream view. Most people and most politicians use a downstream view. So let me explain real quick. When we look at a problem, when we see homelessness rise and we see all of these people that are living outside of their homes that are, you know, steeped in filth and in drug use, and they've just abandoned being a productive citizen of society. What you're seeing is the downstream view of a problem. So in other words, any politician that says we have to deal with homelessness, then they're not solving the problem. They're working and trying to address the symptoms, and they will never solve the problem. A true leader solves problems. So you have to understand that you have to identify what is the source of this problem. Is it just an individual? Because it could be. But when you have so many different individuals that become, you know, that's not it. You know, it's not an individual choice. In other words, there's been something that has occurred. And I can give you an example. When we started looking at, you know, as a nation, the problem of teenage pregnancy, and it was basically begotten by World War II. A lot of young men were drafted and are signed up to go fight the war, and many of them left with a baby, you know, in some young woman to, you know, have a birth before they got married and so forth. So that surge in that created a dialogue, and for the next 15 years or so, the progressives were saying, we have to institute sex education so that we can, you know, stop this rampant teenage pregnancy. It's happening way too often. It really wasn't that big of a problem. But that's the way they perceived it. They were looking at a downstream view, and they said, what we have to do is we have to start educating, thinking that that was the way of doing that. And they instituted sex education. Next thing you know, that caused even more problems. More is because as they started basically teaching kids things that were, let's not even just say inappropriate, but things that should be taught either by the parents and or by your clergy or by your churches or by the, you know, handled by the community instead of a national curriculum. What it did was it actually increased teenage pregnancy, which increased the demand for Planned Parenthood and abortions, which forced the issue of abortion, which also forced the issue of welfare, because they came out with the next solution to address the next problem downriver, and all of the problems were truly because government got involved. When you allowed government to get involved in the teenage pregnancy and allowing them to inject sex education into the school system, wink, 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 nod, nod, what they ended up doing was they ended up instituting more and more problems. The fact is the government has no authority to do social engineering in the Constitution. The federal government has no authority to even be involved in education. And we prove these things. But knowing that this message is very specific to you, I wanted to give you this upstream, downstream perspective if you want to lead. Now, in regards to the situation that Congress, your fellow representatives, are giving you flack over an involvement of January 6th, I want to make this very clear, and I want to place context constitutionally to what happened. This is what the Constitution, the First Amendment states this, and I'm actually just cutting out everything that has nothing to do with the January 6th petition. Congress shall make no law abridging the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. This means they cannot limit the form of a petition, oral, written, or both. This means they cannot limit its length or style. This means they cannot limit the amount of time a person requires to orate their petition. This means that they cannot limit how many people, you know, want to actually petition them over this very specific issue. They are legally obligated to receive the petition. They are legally obligated to respond. Now, they employ Congress, and as you know, Congress employs a lot of people. There is no reason why some of those deadweight bureaucrats and or servants, because a lot of congressmen have 20 employees. Take a couple of those employees and put them into a pool to be the recipients for these petitions. Anyway, we'll address that in just a second. every day Congress is in session, the people have a constitutional right to have access to Congress to petition them for the redress of grievances, and that included January 6th. There is no asterisk, there is no qualifier, there is no except to the First Amendment, allowing them the ability to deny this right for security purposes to protect themselves from the people. And that's what Congress has been getting away with for years. They have indoctrinated us, along with the rest of the federal court system and everything else, that protests are actually legitimate. Our first protest in America, which was the Whiskey Rebellion, 24 men were arrested for treason and 2 were convicted because they were protesting instead of petitioning. The Constitution dictates that if you're not happy with government, you don't get out into the streets and take the rights of others, and you don't act uncivilly and unconstitutionally. You have to petition government. And why is it that nobody's doing this? But actually, when you look at what happened on January 6th, when the people actually went into the House of Congress, went into the Capitol building, there was no reason, there was no constitutional, there's nothing that supported Congress and the federal government for locking those doors. Even though they may have been in chambers, they should have been able to receive the petitions, and they should have been able to actually allow the people to voice their grievances. With today's technology, there is no reason, and this is where we're going to get into this, where there's no reason that Congress cannot facilitate more than adequate ability to capture petitions of the people when they are in session debating, voting, and conducting specific processes like the 6th of January. They should have been able to just say, okay, we're going to receive your petitions. They actually should have been out there in front of the crowd and saying, if you want to petition us, we'll go ahead, you know, we'll bring in so many people, and we will, you know, if you've got somebody that's going to be a spokesperson for this entire group, or if you've got a bunch of groups there that are going to, you know, petition, then come up to us now and let us know what your petitions are so that we can receive them for Congress, so Congress can legally address them. But that didn't happen. What happened was they pointed the finger at you and everybody else on January 6th, and they said, you are insurgents and you're violating the law, when clearly you were exercising the law. And what and those groups that had actually been protesting throughout the streets in Portland and throughout the United States, all of these burning protests were all unconstitutional and treasonous. That is an insurrection, when people start destroying property and killing people and harming them. That in itself is a Bolshevik revolution, and that's what we're facing. And that's what you need to get your head around. You need to understand that you have to go on the offensive and calling out all the Bolsheviks, all the communists in Congress to say, I see you as an actual insurgent. I see you as a communist trying to overthrow our constitutional government. I, in my participation on January 6th, was doing my patriotic duty as a U.S. citizen. All U.S. citizens and every new citizen must take an oath. Every new citizen must take an oath to defend and protect the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. And if those enemies happen to be in the halls of Congress, then we have a right to petition Congress to poke them in the eye and tell them, do your job and fulfill your oath by supporting and defending the Constitution. I'm hoping this is starting to make sense to you, because on the 6th, when Congress was in the chambers and they actually closed those doors and they closed Congress, they closed it down. They actually violated the First Amendment. The viewing area actually should be open even when they're in session and even when they're doing these things. The only time, and technically, the president does not have to go. If you look at the president's inaugural address at his State of the Union, that is up to the discretion of the president where to do that. If he chooses to do it in the Capitol building, in, you know, the joint sessions or the major body where Congress meets, I forget what it's called, forgive me, But if that's where he chooses to do it, then that's fine. And he can close that down because that's a very specific process. But when Congress is working for the people, Congress must be available. Their viewing areas must. There's never a time that Congress has to go behind closed doors unless it's for national security. So regardless, they have to be open. They are the servants of the people. Congress can and must provide an appropriate medium to capture these petitions. The problem is that they didn't want anybody to understand what this petition means and why it is the best weapon that we the people have in fighting Congress. I want you to understand this, Congressman. We're going to have to bridge this over into the next segment, but I want you to understand where you and every person in public service stand in peril when you fail to fulfill your oath of office. And we want to give you the golden finger to poke everybody in the eye, the golden finger of truth to knock down these communists in office. We'll be right back after this. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, folks, I do have some feedback for you because it is Feedback Friday, but I've got this important message to Representative Cawthorn. So let me kind of repeat this, Representative Cawthorn. Congress can and must provide an appropriate medium to capture these petitions during normal business hours while they're in session, which means that somebody from your office and somebody from every congressperson's office needs to be available. And I don't care if you have to build a separate building adjacent to Congress, but the right of the people to petition Congress for the redress of grievances cannot be abridged. You must accommodate the people when they are dissatisfied. We have been lied to and deceived in saying that that right is translated into a protest out in the streets. Yeah, that's great because it gets the people out of the hair of the public servants and our politicians so that the politicians can continue to sell us downriver. We have a right and a responsibility. As a matter of fact, I don't like the idea, even though I just said it, it was a dynamic thing. I don't like the idea of an adjacent building. You need to take what part of the Capitol and actually either have two or three different venues where either people can orate and read and or however it is they want to petition you. You also need to make sure that you take time out of the your session, one day out of the session, for those people to say, okay, you can come and petition us, and we will abide by the Constitution. Anything else, anything other than this, and the way that you've pushed people out, there's no discussion in Congress on a daily basis of these petitions. Go back and read the annals of Congress. Go back and read the historical documents of the early days, the first days of Congress, into the what they call the Congressional Globe. The Congressional Globe is the beginning of a new era of Congress, where they started, you know, changing some of their documentation and so forth. But still, even in those days, they addressed the petitions of the people. And after the gag order on slavery in the 1830s, this is when they didn't directly receive petitions. This is when they actually started silencing petitions, and that was the beginning of ignoring our rights. And America has been sleeping for almost 200 years. America is now awake. I may be the most dangerous person in the world, because I am awakening people to their rights, their inalienable rights, their civil rights, and the rights that are protected by the Constitution. So what happened? So what happened on January 6th was not an insurrection. What it was a poorly executed petition by a large body of patriots. That's how I see it. It's not like they went through and started trashing property of private people. That was their property that they may have trashed, and they were uncivil, and every person that trashed and, you know, gaining access, breaking into the Capitol, the people's building, is not a crime. It cannot be a crime, especially when Congress is in session. Congress has violated the Constitution by actually abridging the right. It's right there. The Congress can make no law that abridges the right of the people to petition them. If they made a rule that the doors are going to be locked, then that is a law and a regulation that violates our First Amendment right, period. They must always, when they're in session, those doors have to be open to the people. I understand you have security concerns. Well, then you process them. You'll have to let people in. And as a matter of fact, if they're carrying a gun, if they're actually constitutionally carrying, they should be able to constitutionally carry into very specific areas. You cannot deny us our rights. These are inalienable, and it is like a big festering zit on the nose of our government, poking us in the eye, saying, we dare you, and we're actually that bold to take it on, and you were bold enough to do that as well. This is why you have to understand that there is a consequence when public servants fail to abide their oath. This is the supreme law of the land, and it is a legal consequence to any public servant other than the President of the United States and the Vice President. And you'll find it in Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Any public servant, while they're in office, chooses to violate or fails to follow the Constitution when they are obligated to react. And a good case in point is that invasion on our southern border. If you're not deploying the militia on the southern border, then you are ignoring the Constitution, because clearly it says in Article 4, Section 4, that the United States guarantees to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each from an invasion. It's right there in the language. You are obligated to protect us from an invasion. And what do? It's right there in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, that Congress shall have the power to call forth the militia to execute the laws of the union and to suppress insurrections, which is supposed to be happening in the streets that are, you know, these peaceful protests, as well as to repel invasions. It's right there. You are obligated to call the militia on that border to stop this invasion. And for 30 years, Congress has been violating their oath of office. And this is why we're calling on all of Congress to be removed, because they are deliberately undermining this constitutional republic by allowing this invasion to continue and by refusing to round up these invaders and get them out of this nation. And that is the law of the land. And unless the states actually want to stipulate and change those very specific languages through an amendment, Congress must act. It doesn't matter how they want to manage immigration. Immigration is a case-by-case issue. Immigration is an individual person. I'm going down a rat hole. Forgive me, Congressman. But when a person wants to immigrate, they have to initiate the process and they don't run the border. If they're running the border, they're an invader. If they apply to come in and request immigration status, then they are an immigrant. Congress does not have the authority to bring in refugees. There's nothing in the language of the Constitution and the way the federal government is doing this. I'm just broadening all of this so you understand all of these issues, Congressman, that Congress does not have the authority to bring in refugees or block access to a group of people that are non-U.S. citizens in bypassing the immigration process. Congress is obligated to have a standard and a uniform law for immigration, but they're nowhere in there does it allow refugees. The refugee process was adopted via an unconstitutional treaty with the U.N. You want to know more about these things? Contact me. You have contact my comment line, 425-270-5416. But back to you and your problem. Section 3 is your weapon, and you need to start calling out every member of Congress that they are standing in jeopardy. And when the people finally start connecting the dots to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, then they will start removing every single one of these people because they're immediately disqualified. If you fail to live up to your oath, they're supposed to be disqualified and removed and banned for life from public service. Every public servant takes on that, I'll just say, that consequence when they raise their arm to the square and they say their oath that they will support the Constitution. There are consequences to failing to fulfill one's oath. Now, let's talk about patriots. What is a patriot by definition? A patriot in every country in the world is somebody that supports their government and nation. A patriot in America, however, is an active member of an unorganized militia, is an active member of actually citizen vigilance in basically forcing people to abide by the Constitution. In other words, as citizens, we have an oath that we're supposed to support the Constitution against enemies, foreign, domestic. There's nowhere in our oath that we're supposed to support you, the government, or any government person or the party or an ideology. We in America support the law of the land because a Republican form of government is not just a representative government. It is a government of laws, laws that were well established and agreed upon the society that established that government. So what we need to do is we actually need to start calling things for what they are. And an insurrection, by definition, is the act of rising against civil authority or governmental restraint. Well, in America, we have to paint that it is an act of rising against the Constitution. In other words, anybody that is deliberately violating the Constitution is committing insurrection, which means Congress is the insurgency in America. Many of the states that are actually passing laws, like California, is an insurgency state. They are rising against the authority of the United States, which is the U.S. Constitution. So the fact is, Congress and our government has been executing an insurrection against the Constitution by creating and executing acts, laws and regulations that oppress the people without having these roles, responsibilities, and powers formally and properly delegated to them. And as you understand this, the only way that that can be done, that people can actually formally delegate and authorize government to do something, the only way they can do that is through the amendment process. And if you want evidence, academic evidence, be happy to provide it. We're here to help, and we're not from the government. And that's my message to you, Congressman. I hope you take this to heart. And folks, when we come back, we'll get back with some feedback on some of the other stuff and some more comments. If we get a chance to get into the constitutional counties, if not, We will help you understand some of the things you need to do with your constitutional counties. We will be right back after these messages. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so we're actually gonna pin this up, but before I actually get into that, I have one go back for the good congressman. Congressman Cawthorn, you have to understand who has a right to petition you and any government when it comes to the Constitution. It doesn't have to be a constituent. There is nothing in the First Amendment that says only your constituents, only a voter, only this or that. The requirement for anybody to petition, you must be, and this is the only requirement, you must be a U.S. citizen. A U.S. citizen has the privilege and is protected with, you know, their privileges and immunities are protected by the Constitution, and they have a right to petition you. It doesn't matter what state they're in. I, as a U.S. citizen, can petition you and call you out when you're violating the Constitution. Not that I'm doing that in this case, but to be clear, I can call upon you to redress these grievances, and the grievances I am pointing out are coming amongst your colleagues who are violating and obfuscating the truth. They're trying to pin on you unconstitutional charges and getting people to believe that they're legitimate and constitutional. This has been the facade for years, and it must stop. Any U.S. citizen can petition anyone. We have to start understanding the right of petition and the power of petition, as it is our tactical weapon of choice in fighting the actual grassroots battle. When we actually finally get states engaged with Republic Review, be prepared, because we will be coming and we will take names and we will remove anybody in our path. This is not a revolution. This is a restoration, a mechanism that only the divine hand of providence understood what we would need, and he made sure we had all of these weapons within this Constitution. And America, you know, there's the woke society. America is awakening to their constitutional authority, their responsibility, and the powers that they possess over their government. that is right there in the Constitution. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your time, Representative. And if you have any questions, we're here to help. Now, folks, what we're doing is we're going to be putting this up on the page so that we, and I'm going to cut this so that it literally is just that message. I'm going to not have the two promos that kind of book, you know, that are inside this. We're just going to basically go from the beginning to the end right back there. And so if you want to, you can take that link. You can just basically go to that audio, go up to your URL, because any browser, if you click on any of my podcast pages, if you haven't realized it, on my podcast page, if you actually click on that day of the podcast, it will play in your browser. Your browser has media built into it to actually play, and it'll just come up and start playing. So when it plays, if you notice, it'll give you a URL. You can just capture that URL and send that link straight to Congressman Cawthorn, and we need to shame him. If you live within his district, you need to call him out and say, what are you going to say about GR's message? Because I don't think you need to shame him. I think this is the information that he's been looking for, but he's been ill-advised if he hasn't been told this stuff yet. Everybody is being ill-advised when it comes to what to do regarding this attack on our Constitution. So with that, folks, let's get into what, you know, why we're here. It is Feedback Friday. And so one of the things that we still had, I told you we had a couple. We didn't get through all of the feedback on Friday. And so these last two, and it's not that I'm giving them priority, but these last two are former Marines I know. And so Danny, the only Danny I know, whose name isn't really Danny. We created nicknames, okay? So back in the 80s when Saturday Night Live started using either mixing up with your names or what have you. And so the Haiti Man is a nickname that we created for this gentleman in the Marine Corps, and we called him that because it's not like he liked reggae, but the way he talked, his natural demeanor was almost like he was, you know, a Jamaican or somebody that loved reggae or what have you. I mean, he was a hardcore constitutionalist, and he hated the nickname. And a lot of us didn't like our nickname. My nickname was Mobster, actually, in reference to my driving roadsters and sportsters and so forth. But it spells the same way. Anyway, Danny wanted some information. It goes, is it really legitimate? Are we really going to be able to count on the 2023 election in removing Biden and the Biden administration? Absolutely. But you have to make this an issue. You have to get other people in each congressional district. You have to have a little team at the Republican Party level and at all these other levels. So see, here's the problem. Go and bring this up in your Republican County Central Committee meetings. You have to start bringing this up. You have to say, did you know that we can actually remove Biden in 2023? And you can give them this discourse. I'm going to be creating a script. I promised a gentleman that's working in the militias in the general area where I live, and I told him we would have the script for them. So we're going to actually write the script. I was supposed to do it 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. And so I hope he forgives me. But anyway, let's move forward. So yes, Danny, we can do this. We as the people have to start messaging so that when people hear this, it will help revitalize. I can't understand why Trump is not hearing this. I can't understand why Trump is not getting this message and somebody out there is taking credit for it. And you know what? I don't know if I would care if somebody's taking credit for it, but the fact of the matter is this lawsuit that we put up with Bob Schultz and the We the People Foundation is legitimate. Now, the Haiti Man, he brought up food shortages and our energy shortages that we're starting to see and so forth. The Biden administration they're not going to do anything regarding helping people. They're not. They're going to write a check and they're going to spend a whole bunch of money and create more debt. The Biden administration is trying to seal the deal in financially collapsing the United States. The Biden administration is continuing in support of the globalist agenda because what he did in Afghanistan actually helped the globalist agenda, because now we left a lot of major technology for China, Russia, and all sorts of evil powers to dissect and exploit our technology. And nobody's talking about that. And as we start looking at the food and so forth, what I believe, especially when it comes to energy, I believe we need to go down the subscription services path. Why is it that we're paying by gulp? Why is it that we're actually paying this profit margin when the public companies, you have to start challenging your public utilities with this concept. Where the heck do you get off on actually charging for a profit and then paying these obscene bonuses to executives and having stock members and paying out in stock? The fact that these utilities are out there that you can buy and get money out of them is absolutely repugnant to a Republican form of government. If we understand, and I completely understand, that the state government should have been the ones, you know, getting behind the electrical energy scheme and so forth and actually driving this, you know, down and providing this to the people. The fact is that energy is another way they can steal your disposable income and hurt you over this. We can talk about this in more detail, but bottom line, the food shortages and the energy shortages are more, I don't want to say concocted. These things are being driven as a part of their agenda. And so what they're doing is they're basically giving you these flags, these, if you want to call them red flags, whatever you want to call them. What they're doing is they're actually driving this narrative. And what we're seeing today, folks, what we're seeing today is, you know, this prep so that Biden can say, well, at least I told you, right? So moving on to the next feedback or comment. This goes to Miss Fuhrer, and I don't know if you know I'm bad with names. Fuehrer. She wants to know what the criteria, the exit criteria is for a, and I'm just kind of helping paraphrase. What is the exit criteria for a constitutional county? Well, we're coming up with that. We've already told you what some of those things are, but we're going to come up and try to create a definitive list. Now, again, you know, I try to do really thorough work in my research and everything else to help you and definitize exactly what needs to be done. I could probably do most all of this stuff, but I'm not the king and I'm not the boss. We need to be doing this together. We need to be actually looking and working together on what these things are. So we will be creating that, but we haven't covered that yet, Ms. Fuhrer. And so with the deepest respect for you and the fact that you want to know this stuff, you kind of you have to walk through what these different committees are and all of that structure. But that structure is now posted on the Take Action page. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to confirm that right now because I'm just going to quickly go to the Reclaiming the Republic webpage, and I'm going to the Take Action page, and it's right there at the very top. It's a PDF file. You can download it. Now you can start going through this. Redline it and tell me, or if you've got any questions, then make a copy or email it to me, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and that's great. Mr. Peer wants to know about the Convention of States because I didn't say anything regarding South Carolina and so forth. I kind of have been saying this, folks, that the Biden administration is driving this, and they're going to drive this to where all of a sudden blue states will all of a sudden get the idea to jump on board with this. Right now, there's not one real blue state that's driving this, and there's a reason for that. We're being divided and manipulated. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution?
To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.